We're going to start by playing a game. A game. Yeah, another game. Exactly. This game is called Big or Small. That's the name of this game. I have to get it right here. So here's how the game goes. I am going to show you a picture. And the picture that I show you will be of some common thing that you will recognize. And you have to tell me whether that thing in real life is big or small. That's all. That's how this game works.
How do you win?
What's that?
How do you win? Yeah.
By getting it right. Now, I want you to go by real life, not by... So you're going to have to get... I'm going to turn this computer around so you can see the picture. You got to get where you can see the picture. The picture might take a small thing and make it big so you can see it. So I'm not talking about the picture exactly. I'm talking about in real life, is this thing big or small? So are we ready? Let's see how you do.
Big.
An ant.
Depends.
No, no. There is no depends is not allowed.
Small.
Small. Okay. I'm going to get over here. Excuse me. Okay. Sunflower seed.
Small.
Small. Okay. 747 jet.
Huge.
Big.
Tremendous.
Saturn.
Huge.
Big. A thumbtack.
Small.
Okay. Small. A whale.
Big.
A galaxy.
Huge.
Huge. Okay. Bacteria.
Small.
Small.
I can see.
A comma.
Small.
No, it's big.
Small. The Himalayas.
Big.
Big. Okay. You guys, you did really well. Give yourself a hand. All right, now, here's what we're going to do. What I want you to do is pretend. Let's pretend for a moment that you are a single atom. That's what you are. Now we're going to play the game, big or small. When we won't go through all of these. Let's try. You're a single atom. Is a thumbtack big or small?
Big.
Big. Hmm. How about a sunflower seed?
Big.
Big. Bacteria?
Big.
Big? Big. Okay. Well, let's pretend. You're not an atom anymore. You are now the entire universe. That's what you are.
What?
You are the universe. The Himalayas.
Small.
Small. Okay. A blue whale?
Small.
A small? A galaxy?
Small.
A galaxy is small.
Small.
Small. If you're the universe?
It's part of the universe.
Okay. You guys did a really good job at big or small. Congratulations. The prize is lunch after church. That's right. And so, now, as you noticed in your game, big or small, the bigger you are, the smaller other things are. Right? And the smaller you are, the bigger under other things are. So, then, how do you view God? Big or small? Is God's glory greater than the galaxies? Greater than that? Or is God just an interesting idea?
No.
There are people in this world who see it both ways, right? depending on maybe how they see themselves. How you see God affects how you see yourself. And how you see yourself affects how you see God. Both of those things are true. The bigger you see God, the smaller you see yourself. The bigger you think you are, the smaller God is to you. Because, well, you're so big. Tozer, A.W. Tozer, said this. He said that our view of God is the most important thought that we will ever have. And he's right. Because how you view a God is going to affect everything else. It's going to determine how you live life and how you think of yourself. Now, I'm preaching in the Psalms. And so open up your Bible to Psalm 8. While you're turning there, I'm going to pass out scriptures. And so I've got Psalm 8 for you in scripture. Here comes Chinese. Let's see, that way. And Korean. You can pass those around. And Spanish, I don't see your Spanish. I guess.
I've got Spanish.
Well, you have it already. Okay. And English. Here comes English. Okay, so you are now in Psalm 8. Scriptures are coming around to you. I'll just go read it. Here's what Psalm 8 says. It says, O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babies and infants, you have established strength because of your foes to still the enemy and the avenger. When I look at the heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is man? That you were mindful of him, and the Son of Man, that you care for him. Yet, you have made him a little lower than the heavenly beings, and crowned him with glory and honor. You have given him dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, and also the beasts of the field, the birds of the heavens and the fish of the sea. Whatever passes along the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Now, this psalm begins and ends with the same statement. So, look at it. Look at verse 1 and verse 9. And you're going to see the same thing. That's the theme of this psalm. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. It's a statement of the greatness of God. That's what that statement is. That's our God. He's our Lord. O Lord, our Lord, how great are you? That's the idea. Now, his name is majestic. Where is his name majestic? In all the earth. That's what verse 1 says. Your name is majestic. How majestic is your name? In all the earth. What that means is the greatness of God is in Texas. Some of the Texans will be happy about that. The greatness of God is also in Japan. And the greatness of God is in Africa. And the greatness of God is at the bottom of the ocean. And the greatness of God is at the top of Mount Everest. And the greatness of God is in the jungles of Brazil. And the greatness of God is in the streets of Manhattan. And there is no place where you can go where you will not find the greatness of God. It's in all the earth. That's what the psalmist is saying. That's what David is telling us. Wherever you go, you find the majesty of God, whether it's a farm or a wood or a city or this room. You can't escape it. It's everywhere, the majesty of God. Now he says then, same in verse 1, you have set your glory above the heavens. God's glory is higher than the heavens. That means those galaxies we were looking at, you think those things are glorious, and they are. That's nothing compared to the glory of God. The glory of God is beyond that. When I said pretend you're the universe, that's nothing to the glory of God. You were looking, when you were the universe, you were looking at galaxies as if they were peanuts. But the glory of God is beyond that. The galaxies cannot contain the glory of God. The entire universe cannot contain the glory of God. It's all the galaxies of the universe combined in the presence of God are like a firefly at noon. They're nothing. Verse 1, his glory is above the heavens. But when I look at the heavens, that's verse 3, right? He says, when I look at the heavens, the works of your fingers, the moon, and the stars, which you have made, when I look at that, what is man that you are mindful of him? Or the son of man that you care for him? What he's saying is, when I look at the heavens, I see a glory that so outstrips me. You ever look at the stars at night when you're out, maybe not in the city, but out in the country where it's dark, and you can see stars upon stars, and you see almost, if you get in the right places, you can see the Milky Way. Just gets kind of milky, and it's just incredible how many stars there are up there and how beautiful it is when you do that. And you ever do that and you look and you see that, how vast it is, and start thinking, who am I? That's what David is doing. When I consider the heavens, when I look at the heavens, the moon and the stars, what is man that you're mindful of him? He's saying, who am I? Who are we as humans in the vastness of the universe? We're like a little speck on this one little planet. Where you stand on the edge of the ocean and you look out and you see the vastness of the water. Forever, it seems. I mean, we know literally it ends on the other end, but it doesn't look that way. When you look at it, it looks like it just goes on and on and on. And the ocean is huge. And who am I? Or you go to the Grand Canyon. You went to the Grand Canyon, Jian. So when you first step out and you can see the whole thing there spread out before you, and you go, whoa, because it's so huge. And you suddenly realize how small you are. When you see big things, you see how small you are. Nature should humble us. It should. It doesn't very often, because sometimes we just don't think. But nature should humble us when we get in front of it. The vastness of this universe should whisper to our hearts, who do you think you are? But the universe vast as it is just a single drop of water in the ocean of God. It's nothing. And so the natural response is verse 4. When you look at nature, what is man that you are mindful of him? Or the son of man that you should care for him? It should be something like, why? God, I don't understand. God, why do you care for me? Who am I, God, that you should care for me? God, there are trillions upon trillions of stars up there. And you love me? I don't understand. That's what David is doing here. He's looking at the heavens and he's wondering why God cares for him. Who am I that God would pay attention to me? There are people who think God owes them his time and his efforts, and God should be at their service. God exists. God is like the butler for them. And they need something, and so, hey, butler, come here. I need a job right now, butler. And God is their servant. That's messed up. Those people do not understand God. They think they are bigger than God. That attitude says something. If that's... I'm not saying you can't ask God for stuff. You can. It's just a different attitude. We come to him as beggars in need of something before the king. Not as the wealthy man who has a servant. Those are different attitudes. People who think God owes them something do not understand God. Their God is too small, and their ego is too large. They're playing the game, big and small, and they're getting the wrong answers when they play the game. Guys, it's important for us to see our own smallness next to God, our own weakness, our own frailty before God. And until we see this, we will never understand the grace of God. When God owes you something, if that's your attitude, and then you get it, that's not grace. He owed it to you, according to how you think. But if you understand that you deserve nothing, and God gives you some great things, that's a whole different attitude that you have toward God. And that's the way it really is. That's reality. The other way is not reality. Guys, this psalm emphasizes our own insignificance in and of ourselves. Because our insignificance magnifies the grace of God. And we see the grace of God in this psalm. We see it first in verse 2. Out of the mouths of babies and infants you have established strength. God brings strength out of weakness. That's what that verse is giving you a picture of. The weakest ones on earth, God is bringing strength through them. That's grace. They're not strong because they're strong. They're not strong because they're somehow more important than other people, or because they've done something, or because they're babies. But God works through them. He works through the weak to establish his glory and his grace. That's the grace of God. God fights his enemies by using the weak. That means for us, We don't fight spiritually by being strong in us, but by being weak in us and strong in God. Let me give you some. So out of the mouths of babes, you have established strength. I believe this is talking about spiritual things. I don't think it's talking about physical strength. But this is kingdom of God stuff. So, Leanne and I, when our kids were really young, we have a list of sayings that they said. When they would say something that was funny or profound or whatever, we'd write it down. And we call them Carissa-isms, Matthew-isms, Rebecca-isms. And so I'm going to read some of them. I'm not going to tell you who said what. If you want to ask them, they probably don't remember. Because they were about 2 to 4 when they were saying these things. So just picture a 2-year-old or a 3-year-old or a 4-year-old. And just here are some things. These all deal with God. And so it's bedtime. And one of our kids says, "Night, night, God." Here's another one. "Are there playgrounds in heaven?" "I bet there are 20 playgrounds in heaven." Here's another one. "I want to learn about God." And this person is looking through a picture Bible, little kid Bible with pictures, saying, "I want to find a God story." "Daddy, I want to worship God loudly. Can I see that Bible with songs in it?" "Did Jesus grow down to be born?" That came from like a 3-year-old. "Did Jesus grow down to be born?" Now, guys, the faith of little children one day will put to shame the unbelief of the scholars. Those little children knew more about God than people who have PhDs who are teaching religion at UT. That's the idea. Out of the mouths of babies and infants, you have established strength because of the foes to still the enemy and the avenger. You see, the sayings of those 3-year-olds have greater power in the kingdom of God than the President of the United States. The faith of children will judge one day, because God's going to say to the people who didn't get it, who didn't see him, he's going to say, "This 3-year-old got it. Why couldn't you?" And they're not going to have an excuse, because it was so simple that a 3-year-old could get it. Out of the mouths of babes, God is going to fight his enemies. And that's going to happen. Now, here's the deal. 3-year-olds can understand the grace of God better than adults do, because 3-year-olds see that they're weak. They understand that everybody around them is a whole lot stronger than they are. But adults don't see that. We think we're strong, and so we never see the grace of God because, well, we're strong. It's just sort of grow, it's like we grow out of this ability to see God in a sense. That's why Jesus said that to enter the kingdom of heaven, you must become like children. That's what he's getting at. You have to see your weakness. You have to trust God like a child trusts daddy. Now, when babies show the strength of God, they are magnifying the grace of God. Because God is doing that through three-year-olds. Now, there's a second place we see the grace of God in this psalm. And that's in verses 5 through 8. In fact, what I want to do is this. I'm going to go back to 3 and 4. When I look at the heavens, the works of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have made, what is man that you are mindful of him, or the son of man that you care for him? And the first word in verse 5 is what? Yet. Oh. It's like but. It's a contrast. Yet, God's going to do something anyway. David is saying, I'm nothing. And yet, God has made me a little lower than the heavenly beings. Literally, that word there for heavenly beings is God. It's Elohim. That's the word that's used there. Yet you've made me a little lower than God. And you've crowned me with glory and honor. Guys, if this isn't grace, I don't know what is. He's saying, who am I? I look at the stars and I say, who am I? And yet, God, you crown me with glory and honor. Why? I don't get this. He doesn't understand why. But he knows it's true. And he's praising God's name because he sees it. He sees what God has done. And so, we have to have this sense. And as Christians, we need to understand that in one sense, we're nothing. But in another sense, we're very special to God. And both of those things are true. In fact, if you think yourself something without God, then you'll never see how special you are to God. But when you see you're nothing, that's when you see how special you are to God. Because you see, you don't deserve it. God must be doing this not because I'm great, but because he is. That's why he must be doing this. And so David is saying, he's talking about mankind, human race in general. God has crowned us with glory and honor. And then, not only has he done that, but it goes on and said, God has given us a very special position on earth. And he says, you've given him meaning man, you've given him dominion over all of your works, and you've put all things under his feet. And then he just describes them. Sheep, oxen, birds, beasts of the field, fish of the sea, blah, 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 blah. That's the rest of you. He's just giving you, these are the things that are included in all things are under our feet. This is really the doctrine of the dominion of man over earth that came in Genesis when God gave Adam and Eve dominion over the beasts of the field and the fish and the birds and so on. What it means is the human race is within a chain of command on earth in one sense. The human race was given the top slot under God on earth. Now, we still have dominion, although we've lost some of that with Satan. We gave Satan in the fall, but the dominion hasn't gone away completely. We still have this position on earth. Now, dominion, maybe you don't know that word. Dominion is an English word that means rule. And so, what he's saying is the human race has rule over the creatures on earth. And so, why us? Do we deserve this rule? Do we deserve to be over all of what God made on earth? No. What is man that you are mindful of him, or the son of man that you care for him? And yet, this is what you've done. That's what he's saying. That's the grace of God. And David is amazed at the grace of God when he looks at it and sees it. He is seeing the greatness of God. And the greatness of God makes him see his own smallness. And his own smallness makes him see God even more great. Now this psalm really also prepares us for the cross. Because the cross is nothing more than the grace of God. The cross is a gift that God has given us that's so much larger than dominion over the beasts. The cross is where God enters us into the presence of God through the cross. No cross, no God. You can't know God without the cross. But in the cross, you can know God. Why? When you start thinking of who you are, why? Why would God do that? I don't know. Other than to say, he's great God. Praise his name. I mean, that's about all I can say to that. That's why. If you ask me why, that's how what I got to say. Praise his name. David hasn't seen the cross. He just sees his weakness and the glory of God. But we have seen the cross. Jesus came for weak sinners. That's why he came. Jesus offered us cleansing, and he made of us sons and daughters of God. He made us his children of God. Why? Because we're great? Or because he's great? And then David concludes how he began. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Praise you. Now we're going to close by singing it.